Okay, before I play this little clip, I want to set it up for you, let's say. Let's say set it up for you. I'm talking about Donald Trump playing golf. I'm talking about the hypocritical oath that apparently Trump has taken so that most of everything that he says is hypocritical. If you don't know what that means, look it up. Before I play this little clip, just to prove how hypocritical Trump is, Donald Trump owns about 22 golf courses across the world, most of them in the United States. He has spent 22% of his presidency, 22% at a golf course or a private golf club that he owns. He goes to Mar-a-Lago in Florida, one of his properties, almost every single weekend. Whether he plays golf or not while he's there, we don't know because the press is ordered away from the club when Trump is there. So you don't know what he's doing there. That's an order by the president. 22% of his presidency is spent at a golf resort or playing golf. 22%. That's a lot. It's almost a quarter of the time. So how many times has Donald Trump played golf since he's been president? 200 times. Actually, 197. We're getting close to 200. Now, when you're president, you have a lot of stresses, especially when you're Trump and you don't sleep all night and you're tweeting and twatting. But I get that. But if you spend so much time at a golf resort or a golf course while you're president, then why would you say something like this when you're running for president?
Obama, it was reported today, played 250 rounds of golf.
Everything's executive order because he doesn't have enough time because he's playing so much golf.
Obama ought to get off the golf course and get down there.
I'm going to be working for you. I'm not going to have time to go play golf.
He played more golf last year than Tiger Woods.
This guy plays more golf than people on the PGA Tour.
I love golf. I think it's one of the greats, but I don't have time.
But if I were in the White House, I don't think I'd ever see Turnberry again. I don't think I'd ever see Doral again.
But I'm not going to be playing much golf, believe me. If I win this, I'm not going to be playing much golf.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. He claimed that Obama is playing almost 250 or golf games since he was president. This is over an eight-year term, ladies and gentlemen. Trump's nearing 200. Just over 2.5 years. So figure that out. And that's not the only thing Trump says that he wouldn't do. He also said this.
You know, I tweeted today, at real Donald Trump, I tweet. And that's, you know, it solves them. Don't worry, I'll give it up after I'm president. We won't tweet anymore, I don't think. Not presidential.
Not presidential to tweet, huh? That's an interesting comment to make. So, now you know.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Really?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Okay.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Hey, how you doing? Don't answer, I can't hear you. It's me, it's Ron Van Dam, aptly named the Ron Van Dam Show. We do this every single weekday. What do you do every weekday? Oh, I'm sorry, didn't know. That's embarrassing. You know, most talk show hosts and celebrities, in order to make a little money on the side, sell lemonade. No, that's not right. They sell paraphernalia, merchandise that's good for marketing. They have hats with the name of the show on it, or T-shirts or sweatshirts with the name of the show. It's good marketing, good promotion, and you make a little money on the side. Well, I decided that I should get into this game as well. So I've come up with the Ron Van Dam pants. I'm the only one doing this. I wanted to come up with something different. Nobody else markets their name of the show on the pants. So that's what I've done. And they're available now online. They're interesting. On one pant leg it says Ron. On the other pant leg it says Van Dam. And on the ass it says show. Interesting thing about the pants, it's one size fits all. And a lot of people say, Ron, how can you make pants where one size fits all? And my response is, I don't know. Thirsty. I drink a lot of water every day. My doctor says I should drink up to a gallon of water every day. And I kind of exceed that. I drink 29 gallons of water a day. I'm kidding. It's 28 gallons. And boy, do I have to pee constantly. I think I'm internally drowning myself, which is probably not a great idea. Well, welcome to the program. The first thing I want you to do is relax, sit back, take your shoes off. I don't know why people take their shoes off when they relax, but it is nice. I don't like shoes. I never liked shoes. I don't like what they do. I don't like the way they look. I don't like how they fasten. I just don't like them at all, but I do recognize the utility of the shoe. Otherwise, I'd be stepping on nails all day, and that wouldn't be good. Thanks for wasting your time with me. That's pretty much what's going to happen here. It's just here's what's happening on the show today. You'll be wasting your time. No, you won't. Actually, toward the end of the show, see, I love to cook. I am a chef. You know, you don't have to do it professionally to be called a chef. I love to cook. I love to prepare meals. I love it. I love every aspect of it. Baking, I hate. But cooking food, I love. I love. Being creative with dishes, I love that. It's therapeutic. It's one. I love it. So when I have the opportunity to talk about food on this show, I get really excited, not as much as other situations where I could get more excited, but sufficiently excited, let's say. So we have an expert, food expert with us later, and we're going to talk about farmers markets. Ooh, that's interesting. Every once in a while, I go to a farmer's market, and some of you may not know what that is. And if you don't know what it is, it's not my job to tell you. Figure it out. They're like little food fairs is what they are. Sometimes they're outside, sometimes they're inside, but usually local farmers and local vendors try to sell you shit. And it's kind of fun because it's stuff that you wouldn't find in a supermarket. And the stuff is really fresh and unique. And it's a little farmer's, they call it a farm. It's adorable. They call it a farmer's market. Isn't that cute? It's a little farmer's market. That's where you can sell honey that is so fresh, the bees are actually still in it. I don't like bees. I think they're very important for the environment, and I think they have a right to fly around and make honey all they want. But I don't like to be stung by bees, not even honey bees. No, I'm not into the bee thing. I respect them. I respect them, but they must respect me and not sting me. Have you ever been stung by a bee? See, the reason I talked about feet, I can't believe I'm connecting these two subjects. The reason that I talk about feet is when I was a child, I think I was 7, 8 years old, if I was a child ever, I was walking around barefoot in my backyard. And in your backyard, that's where you have a license to be barefoot. You really shouldn't be wearing shoes on your own property. It's kind of stupid. I'm playing in my backyard. We had a house. We had a backyard. I'm running around the backyard in my naked feet. And for some reason, somehow, there was a bee. Maybe it was in a panic mode or something, but the bee was just on the ground. I don't know why. I think bees were on the ground. I thought they just flew and went to honey, and that's pretty much what they do. But there was this bee, I guess, on the ground, and I was walking across the yard in my bare feet, and I stepped on the bee, and the bee's reaction was, "Hey, get off me, man!" And it stung the bottom of my foot. What a, my God, to this day, I remember the specific pain. You ladies, you know, you have childbirth, you have tremendous pain in trying to pass this watermelon out of your uterus. I know, I've not been there, but I've seen you scream in pain and in agony. And somehow women forget that pain and agony and they go ahead and they have another child. Let me tell you something. If I had that kind of pain and agony in my uterus, I would never have another child ever again. I wouldn't speak to anybody that had a child. I would just block that. That would be the worst thing ever that has happened to me, pain-wise. And yet women have children because they say, well, you forget the pain that you had. Well, I don't think I would, because I never forgot the pain of stepping on a bee with my bare foot. It was horrendously painful. And I remember running into the house and just crying to my mother. And that's what mothers are for. They're not to raise you. They're to take care of you if something horrendous happens. And at 8 years old, stepping on a bee was like really bad. And my mother, she raised my foot up and she put some kind of ointment on it and she massaged it and she wrapped a little Band-Aid around it and she called the doctor and said, my son has just been stung by a bee. And the doctor said, get in line. I mean, you know, your kid's an asshole, so that's okay. No, he didn't say that. I don't think he said it. I was 8 years old and I wasn't on the phone with her. But the doctor said, it's just a bee, don't worry about it. If pain persists, you know, for another day, then bring him in and that kind of thing, and we'll put him down. we'll take care of it. Yeah, I never forgot that pain. So anyway, so in a farmer's market, they sell honey. Whew, Ron, did you go off course with that or what? Man, I've never seen a derailment like that in my life. Yeah, if you've never tasted real honey, whew, it's different. It tastes different. I went up to Vermont last summer, and you know what? I don't know why, because there's virtually nothing in Vermont. There is nothing. As soon as you pass the state line, it says, welcome to Vermont. You're now entering Vermont. On the other side of the sign, it says, well, what was the point of that? It does say that on the sign. There's nothing to do in Vermont at all. Unless you ski, if you go in the summer, there's nothing to do in Vermont at all. Nothing at all. I remember trying to go out for lunch because I was so bored and I couldn't find a restaurant that was open for lunch. All the restaurants had a sign out front, opens at 4 o'clock or opens at 5 o'clock. Oh my God. What kind of state is this? Well, it's known for one thing and one thing really only, and I'm not talking about Ben and Jerry's because that's just pathetic. It's Vermont maple syrup. And when you go into one of their country stores, that's pretty much all they sell. When you leave Vermont, if you don't have a little bottle of authentic Vermont maple syrup, you've missed the whole point of going to Vermont at all. And the only point of going to Vermont at all. I know nobody in Vermont listens to this show, so I'm totally safe in saying this without retribution. It's a lovely place. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. But how much time can you spend in a place that's just beautiful? There's not much at all. There's nothing to do. There's nothing to do in Vermont at all. Anyway, maple syrup. So, and you'll find them at farmers markets. They have all these authentic items, not to mention farm items, and we'll talk about that with our guests later on in the show. So that's what's coming up. I don't think I've ever done a longer introduction for something in my life, to be honest with you. I really don't. This show may just be one long introduction to an interview. That's probably all it is. So Donald Trump plays a lot of golf. Barack Obama played a lot of golf. Many former presidents, they just were, I don't know what it is about presidents. It's like golf is what they do. It's just every single one of them is a golf thing. I'm not really that into golf. I've talked about this before. I watch golf on TV when I want to go to sleep. Nothing is more boring. Baseball puts me to sleep as well because nothing ever happens. It's like going to Vermont. But the thing that's slower than baseball, even slower than baseball, is golf. It just is not meant to be on TV, certainly. And it's not meant to be outside either. It is a game where a grown person usually takes a tiny little dimpled ball. Oh, it's cute. It's got dimples. They put it on a piece of wood. They get an iron pipe. And they hit the ball with the long iron pipe. And then they go chasing it. And they try to put it in a hole. This is a sport. I don't know who came up with this thing. And here's the odd part. See, I get miniature golf because it doesn't take up a lot of real estate. You know? It's like, you know, you don't have to buy acres and acres and acres and acres of land to play a game with a little ball and a stick. Miniature golf is a lot more compact and makes a lot more sense. It's just really stupid. I don't think any grown adult plays miniature golf and feels proud about it. It's just, you play miniature golf as a joke. It's just a joke. I'm going to play 9 holes. Really? What course are you doing? Bob's Windmill City. What? Yeah, miniature golf. I love it. I love it. It's a day out in the countryside, and it's beautiful to have windmills and this green mat that they put down. It looks like rolling countryside, but it's just a green mat. It's beautiful. It's beautiful at the miniature golf place. It's very strange. There's a weird dichotomy going on at a miniature golf place. There's adults that are just there to fuck around, make believe they're playing golf. And then there's the little kids who really think they're playing golf, but they're not. And every time they hit the ball, it's a whole big deal. Some people are just horrible at miniature golf because sometimes it just can't be achieved. You can't get that little ball past the windmill no matter what you try to do. And you're spending about 3 hours on every single hole. It's just the stupidest thing. It's not golf. It's an obstacle course. That's all it is. It's an obstacle course. What do you want to do? I want to put the ball in the hole over there just like 20 feet away from me. Oh, that's fine, but you gotta like go around the building, under the windmill, through the waterfall. Then your ball comes up, comes near a plant, and then it rolls down a hill, and then rolls up a little drainage pipe, and then this is just frustrating. This is a game of frustration. It shouldn't be called miniature golf. It should be called, I bet you can't put the ball in the hole. That's what it's called. Sometimes at the miniature golf places, they'll have a driving range. And when I was really young, I thought this is where you learned how to drive a car. But it's not. That's not what it is. It's It's a place where you stand, and in front of you is a little green mat, and you put a ball on it, and you take one of those iron wooden stick things, and you hit it as far as you can, and then you go home. It's weird. It's expensive. What they do is that you buy a bucket of balls, and I guarantee you, the only place that you can say a bucket of balls is at a driving range. If you said it anywhere else, you'd be arrested. It's just an odd, it's grown men hitting balls, and that's it. I always thought that when you were at a driving range, that the target was that guy driving that cage tractor, that vehicle that picks up all the stray balls. That should have a target on it. That would make it somewhat more interesting. But I can't play golf of any sort, really, because I can't dress like that. I refuse. I don't care if I'm 8 years old or 88 years old or anything in between or anything before or anything after, which means any age whatsoever. I refuse to wear pastel-colored pants. I just won't do it. I don't care what you say. I will never wear pastel-colored pants, because as soon as you do, you're making a statement. It's that I'm colorblind and I don't give a shit. That's the only statement you can make in pastel-colored pants or plants. No woman has ever gone up to a guy and said, "Oh my God, those are the nicest pastel-colored pants I've ever seen. Can I go to bed with you right now?" No, that's not what happens. I don't even like women in pastel-colored pants, and usually that doesn't matter to me, but it does now because the connotation is just awful. The worst fashion industry example is people that wear clothes to play golf and purposely dress like that. It's like they call somebody up and say, "Bob, what's the worst color pattern combination in the world that'll make people throw up on sight?" Well, just go to a country club and look at the way they dress. That would be orange pastel colored pinkish pants and a plaid shirt with green and yellow stripes. That will kill them. That will kill them on sight. I can't dress like that. I can't do it. I can't do it. I tried once as a joke, but I couldn't get past my vomit because it just made my stomach. I can't. The funniest thing about people that dress like that to play golf is the fact that they're actually walking around like that. It is such a laughable thing. It's almost like on purpose. To me, it's the same as going to the circus and sitting in the stands and watching clowns walk by with those floppy shoes and the big suspenders and the outlandish color patterns. That's the same thing. That's like I'm at the circus, but these people don't realize how stupid and pathetic they look in those clothes. That's the funny part. It's the obscurity of their mental condition. I'm serious, man. What is up with that? Buy a mirror. Buy a mirror. Look at yourself. This is not one of your better situations here. That's what you avoid. Can you imagine a golfer going out in public other than at a country club dressed like that? Do you know how many people would stare at them and say, "My God, that poor man's got a mental condition"? And women too. Women just as stupid. Women wear these. See, men wear regular baseball caps, and I guess they call them golf caps. I don't know what they wear. You know, they have the little beak on the front, and it's like a baseball cap. That's what men wear to the. Women take it a step worse. They just wear the beaks. They wear, it's like hats without the hat part. They just, it's like a beak with a strap around it. And that's what women wear. And I, that looks like, excuse me, lady, someone stole the rest of your hat. Do you realize you've got a beak that is held to your forehead with a strap around your head? That's a fashion thing? Apparently it is. This is what women wear on the golf course. And they think they look good. You don't. You don't. You just don't. I know you own a mirror. And I don't think you're looking in it. Or you're, I don't understand you. I just don't understand. Golf is the only sport that requires a short pencil. They purposely manufacture short little pencils. And it's only for golf. It's the only place you'll find a short little pencil. Actually, there's one more place where you find a short little pencil. And that's at a bar when you're playing Keno. Those two times are the only times you'll see a short little pencil. And I don't know when the pencil manufacturer said to themselves, if it's golf or Keno, we're going to manufacture short little pencils. Why? Because there's short little people playing the game? No, some of them are tall. We just don't know why. We're just going to get into the business of manufacturing short little pencils. What's your point? I don't know. It's just, we're crazy. We just want to do short little pencils. I don't know why. Why don't you do short little pencils for other? Why do you make big pencils at all? I don't know. I don't know. This whole thing's got us crazy. It's this golf thing that's driving us nuts. Don't understand. All right, we're gonna talk to our guest about my favorite subject, and that's cooking. Ooh, I love to cook. Ooh, right after this.
You're listening to The Big Show with Ron Van Dan. I wish I could listen to it too. But sometimes he says bad words.
No, I don't. No, I don't. Not really. Not really. How are you today, Jesse?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm not so bad, really. Jesse Price. Jesse Price joins us. She's editor in chief of Eating Well. That alone is this is worth talking to you about. she's at eatingwell.com, and we're talking about fresh food and produce and stuff and farmers' markets. Is there a large attendance at farmers markets?
Oh my gosh, Ron. Farmers markets have absolutely exploded in the last 25 years. So they've gone from about 2,000 in the U.S. to over 8,000. Yeah. So over 400% growth. And people are loving them. It is just, it's an event. It makes shopping fun. And what I love about it is that it also inspires people, even the pickiest eaters, to cook up something healthy and delicious.
Well, it's exciting. Well, first of all, it's something to do. It's an event. And secondly, it's you don't really, until you do a farmer's market, you kind of don't know what fresh is. Because it's nothing like what you find in the supermarket where they say this is the fresh area with the fresh vegetables. No, they're not. That's not. This is real. this is the real stuff.
Well, no shade on the supermarket produce section.
Well,
that is my favorite part of the supermarket.
But
you're right. I mean, the farmer's market is just above and beyond, and there's so much stuff there. I mean, there's so much that it actually can be overwhelming. And that's why we decided to do this story, which is all about ways that you can absolutely crush it when you shop the farmer's market.
Yeah. Also, I mean, you know this better than anybody, but I've done the farmer's market thing. When you prepare a meal using the fresh produce and the fresh items, and even some of the things that aren't fresh, they can be bottled and jarred, but they're still like different than what you find. It's just a whole different taste, man, and people don't do this, don't even know that.
I think that's totally true. And you mentioned bottled and jarred stuff. Yeah. You know, there's one stand at the farmer's market that I go to that is just all really amazing fermented vegetables.
Yeah.
So like sauerkrauts and kimchis and stuff like that. You bring a jar of that stuff home, and you can use it in all different ways. Like, say, put it on top of a little noodle soup, or put it on a sandwich, put it into a salad, and all of a sudden you're like, whoa, I have just completely transformed my cooking into something really exciting, and it's just, you know, an interesting product that I would have never found at a regular market.
So take me through the experience, those that haven't done this before. What do you show up with, a shopping cart? I mean, like, what happens here?
Yeah, so there's a couple of general tips that I would give. Mm-hmm. I would say go early, right? So find out when your market is open, go early. That way you are going to get the very best and most interesting selection mm-hmm. of produce.
Mm-hmm.
Bring shopping bags. So I know that's kind of a no-duh. It's good for the environment. I would tell you to do that at the grocery store
yes.
as well.
Yes.
But one of the farmers we talked to for this story told us that last year he spent $4,000 on shopping bags. And that can make a real difference to a farmer's bottom line. So shopping bags, I would also say bring cash. So most vendors are going to accept credit cards, but there will be a few that don't.
Mm-hmm.
And in addition, if you pay with cash, you know, the farmer gets to take home all of that money. They don't have to pay the couple percentage points to the credit card company.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then, you know, one of the other things I would say is bring a cooler. So I always like to buy meat or eggs or cheese at the farmer's market, more perishable things. And so what I'll do is I will put some ice packs in the cooler in the back of my car, go and put that more perishable stuff in the car right after I buy it, and then I can, you know, have a nice relaxing shopping trip to the farmer's market.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting you brought up eggs. If someone hasn't had a fresh egg, then they don't realize what this how different this is than what you would get. Again, not downing supermarkets, but it's a totally different item.
Oh, gosh, those really, really rich golden-colored egg yolks that you'll get, you know, from eggs at the farmer's market are really luscious. You're right about that.
And they're also, like, a lot healthier for the little babies. So, yeah, the animals I'm talking about, not the other animals. I'm talking about the chickens. Okay. Hey, what if, all right, so we get this stuff and we have ideas. Boy, I want to put this together and make an incredible meal. Fortunately, Jessie is here, and she's the author of many cookbooks on some great ideas to do with these items.
Yeah, so, you know, one of the things I would say in general advice is use your grill.
Mm-hmm.
So think about that as a great way to do vegetables in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
Almost anything can actually be thrown on the grill. Two nights ago, I did sweet potatoes on the grill, and it's absolutely fine. You will be surprised how much stuff really works on the grill. But the other thing I would say, of course, is, you know, great recipes are pretty easy to find, especially if you open Eating Well magazine.
Uh-huh.
In this current issue with the farmer's market story, there's a bunch that I love that are great for the farmer's market. One of the ones that I'm super excited about is this watermelon sherbet.
Yes.
It only has 4 ingredients, and you do not need an ice cream maker to make it. So what you do is you take your watermelon, you cut it into chunks, put it in the freezer, let it freeze, take that out, and then you put it in a food processor with sweetened condensed milk, lime juice, and just a pinch of salt. You whir it up, and it's almost sherbet at this point. You pop it in the freezer, let it set up for an hour or two, pull it out, and that's it. You have this beautiful, amazing, kind of sweet, watermelon-y, limey sherbet that is just awesome.
Without preservatives.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, the sweetened condensed milk does have sugar, so you're adding
sweetness to it that way. Yeah, but not like something you buy in a store, though.
Right, no, of course.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
That's kind of the bottom line, is this stuff isn't necessarily loaded with pesticides and crap. I mean, and preservatives, so that it lasts for 3 years. I mean, this is different. The last point, which is kind of sensitive, some items might be a bit more expensive than you might be used to. Not by a lot, but a bit more expensive. And that's obvious because this is locally grown, and that's how those are the costs involved.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm glad you say that. It's true. I wouldn't say go to the farmer's market to look for a bargain, because you're not likely to find it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if when we talked to farmers about it, they said, don't haggle. You know, this is their blood, sweat, tears, labor put into these products. Uh-huh. So don't haggle. What you can do is ask for seconds. Uh-huh. So a second would be, a bumped or bruised tomato, or maybe something, a tomato that has a poke in it. Normally the farmers would take those, and put them back, like behind their stand, and they wouldn't be selling them. But if you ask for seconds, they may say, oh yeah, I have, seven, sort of funkier or bruised tomatoes back here. Take them. You can have them, at half price. And then those are great for you to use in a sauce or in gazpacho, something where you don't really need a perfect, beautiful, blemish-free tomato.
Perfect. Oh, and it's gazpacho time, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, it is. It's almost gazpacho time. I mean, you are in Boston.
We're getting there.
Almost there. Yeah, not quite there yet.
Okay. I have
my guess anyway.
I have gazpacho in the winter, so I mean, it's like, wow, it's like, it's an incredible dish, actually. I don't call it a dish, but it's an incredible soup. I mean, it's so loaded with everything wonderful. Everybody,
oh my gosh,
try that.
I have, right in the peak of summer, I have a pitcher of gazpacho in my refrigerator at all times, just going, because I'm like you, I'm obsessed with gazpacho.
Yeah. Jesse Price, what more can I say? Where can we go for more information? Of course, I know it's eatingwell.com, but she's the author of many books as well. How can we follow you? I just go to eatingwell.com and it's all there, right?
Yeah, eatingwell.com, and also, of course, look for the magazine.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Jesse, it's always fun to talk to you. Thank you so much for your time today.
Ron, thank you for having me.
Okay, take care.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
I've enjoyed my time with you today, I really have. Because you didn't say anything, you just sat there and you shut up, and that's the kind of relationship I like, baby. That's what kind of thing I like. That's what I like. All right, that's enough. Have yourselves a wonderful, wonderful day. I really hope it's going to work out for you. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. Until then, I wish you peace.